Please, some of you are back from your, what's the goodness say, summer vacation. No, Christmas vacation. And you are here with us again, and it's so good to see you. I'm going to share a story with you today, and this is one of the most powerful stories of our family. The most powerful time that we saw God show up in our life. And I want you to listen to the power of God in this story. Some of you know that a very long time ago, my first husband passed away. When my kids were really, really little, their daddy died. It was really sad. It was really hard for us to deal with. But one night, it was middle of the night, it was very dark, and my one little girl, who never, ever wakes up in the middle of the night, she was my best sleeper. She came into my room. She's like, "Mommy, Mommy." I'm like, "Oh, I'm so tired. Go back to bed." "But Mommy, Mommy, I have to talk to you." And so I turn over and I look at her. She's sitting there in her cute little pink jammies. And I'm like, "Rosie, what?" She goes, "Mommy, Mommy, it's so exciting." "Okay, what's going on?" She says, "Jesus was in my room." And I was like, maybe you had a dream. And you know, I'm like, "It's okay, honey, you can go back to sleep. I'm not really awake yet." But then something in my spirit said, "Listen to this little girl." And I'm going to cry, not because I'm sad, but because it was so cool. And she said, "Mommy, Jesus was in my room." And I sat up and I was like, "Okay, if this is real, how do I know?" And I said, "Rosie, tell me what happened." And she said, "Jesus held me on his lap and he told me that he loved me. And he told me everything was going to be okay." And I was like, "Okay, this could still be a dream." And she said, "And Mommy, Jesus told me to tell you this. This is not something she had learned. This is not something I had taught her." And she quoted right from Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. She said, "Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air so that we will always be with the Lord." And it was a reassurance to our family that our family would be back together again in heaven one day. And this little tiny girl got to see Jesus. And I said, "You want to curl up with me?" She curled up with me in a little fuzzy head and little pink jammies. And she was almost to go to sleep. And she says, "And Mommy, guess what? I get a pink angel." And it was just so cute and so sweet. We don't often hear about stories where Jesus visits us. Sometimes we hear stories about angels. And we hear about God and how much he loves us. And he does. And he is very powerful in our lives. And I can't promise you that Jesus will visit you, but I promise you that Jesus will be powerful in your life. And that if you ever need him, he will be there for you exactly the way that you need him to be. Can we pray together before we go upstairs? I can see all of you have lots of questions. You can ask me later. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you love us and that you care about us and that you are so powerful and so real in our life that we can count on you. We can trust and know that you exist when we hear the testimony of others who tell us about who you are and who you have been to them and who you are in the word when we read it. Thank you so much, Lord, for all of your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready to head upstairs? Let's go.
And as the children go to their classes, would you please stand as we continue our worship?
His hands, his feet.
Please be seated. And we'll continue our worship with the reading of Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. This is the word of the Lord. And we'll continue again taking up the Lord's offering. And we will sing as we do that.
Your This morning we are reading from Matthew 2, 1 to 18. Let's hear God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Impact. The action of one body coming forcibly into contact with another. To have a strong effect on someone or something. Impact. Advertisers want to have impact. And I'm really hoping the tech works. And the tech is not working. It's a really good commercial. It's about 10 years old now. It's a Nicoderm commercial with a flight attendant talking about trying to quit smoking earlier and how it didn't go so well. And it is a commercial that stuck with me ever since I first saw it. Never been a smoker, didn't need Nicoderm, but it's a commercial that made me laugh, that I remembered, and I actually knew what product it was advertising, which is not true of all clever commercials. There are clever commercials, you go, "That was great. What was it for?" And it's not until you see it the next time, "Oh, yeah, of course." And then you forget what it was about the next time. That's a commercial that had impact. But this message is not brought to you by Nicoderm today. Advertisers want to have impact. Teachers want to have impact. Preachers, I can tell you, want to have an impact. Sometimes just someone's presence in a room can have an impact. Let's say here, today, this morning, in this space, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II was here, or Dwayne The Rock Johnson was here. And I'm not equating the two or putting them on the same level, but if either of them was here this morning, it would have an impact. Or during coffee time afterwards, we're in Campbell Hall, and standing around one of the tables is Jean-Luc Pageau or Anthony Duclair. That would have an impact, at least if you were a Senators fan. What if God became human? Now that would have an impact. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at and celebrated the Christmas story, the story of Jesus' birth. A story that is an important part of our Christmas celebrations, and for followers of Jesus is the core of all that we do at Christmas, in spite of the much-loved traditions that we have as families. The pregnant Mary, along with her husband Joseph, went to Bethlehem by order of the Roman emperor. Shortly after arriving, Jesus was born. Jesus, Mary's son, but also God's son. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God become human. That night, there was a huge impact with the angels announcing to the shepherds the birth of the Messiah. The impact of Jesus' birth and the announcement of the angels moved the shepherds to search for him, to find him, to worship him, and then to spread the news about him. And our passage today picks up about 2 years later. Mary and Joseph and Jesus still living in Bethlehem, but now in a house. And during that time, magi, wise men, came from the east looking for the new king of the Jews. Now, obviously, they knew the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. They may have known other information that was being circulated at the time, and they saw a star and believed that it marked the birth of this new king of the Jews. So they journeyed. They journeyed to find this new king. The most logical place for them to start was the capital city and at the palace in the capital city. So they went and they spoke to Herod. Now, King Herod was known as Herod the Great, and he had a history of cruelty and murder, by which he proved his loyalty to Rome. And it was the Roman government that gave him the title King of the Jews. He himself was ruled by Rome. All people craving power need titles, need positions. And Herod had worked hard to gain his. And the Magi arrived and said that they were looking for the newborn King of the Jews. The impact of that news on Herod was massive. Herod had killed a number of people that he saw as threats to his position. Some of those people were members of his own family. This news about a newborn king of the Jews was a massive threat to him. If word got out that the Messiah had come, then he would be out of his cushy job and he would lose his power. So he called the scholars together to find out where the Messiah was to be born. Bethlehem, they answered. And so he said to the Magi to go and search. You see, he didn't want to be obvious about what he was doing. But as power-hungry people do, the opportunity of using other powerful people was just so sweet to him. So he encouraged the Magi to go to Bethlehem and to continue their search to find this child, and then to come back and let him know so that he too could go and worship. The Magi searched, found the child, and Jesus had a huge impact on them. The rich and powerful people from a far-off land came to Jesus, and they bowed down before him, and they worshiped him. They presented him with gifts, as dignitaries of another nation would do for a king. And after worshiping him, they left. But God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. And when Herod realized he had been duped by the Magi, he was furious and ordered the immediate murder of every boy in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years of age and under. He didn't care how many people he had to kill to keep his position and place and power. Anything to get rid of this threat. But Joseph had also been warned in a dream from God to take Jesus and Mary and go to Egypt, which they did in the middle of the night to escape Herod's killing rage. What an incredible impact God become human had on the people involved in the story. There wasn't just one reaction to Jesus' birth, but there were some pretty extreme reactions. The impact of Jesus' birth, God become human, caused the Magi to journey a great distance to search for this newborn king, to find him, to bow down and worship him, and to offer him gifts. Gifts worthy of a king. The impact of Jesus' birth, of God become human, caused Herod to be greatly disturbed and to strike out in a murderous rage in an attempt to remove the threat to his way of life. He just didn't want anything to change. The impact of Jesus' birth, God become human, caused the people of Jerusalem also to be disturbed. Now, it could be that they were disturbed because they knew what this news would do to Herod and therefore to the people. But it could also be a sense of mixed hope and fear at the news that the Messiah might have come. What would that mean to them? What would that do to life? They knew the potential for their lives to be completely turned upside down. All of the people mentioned in the story of Jesus' birth were impacted by his birth. The same event, the same person, had different impacts on different people. They were either moved to worship him or they were moved to be disturbed by him and to reject him. So what impact does Jesus have on you? What impact does Jesus have on me? Now, if you've listened to me at all, and I kind of hope you do, then you know that I believe that the impact Jesus has on us should move us to worship him. That in the birth of Jesus, we see God Almighty, the creator of all that exists, the Lord of all, humble himself to become human, humble himself even to become a human baby. And God did all of this with the express purpose of offering himself in sacrifice for us, to save us, so that we would know the fullness of life and even eternal life. The birth of Jesus and the truth of Jesus should drive us to our knees in worship and thanksgiving. But the birth of Jesus should also cause us to do as the Magi did, and that is to give of ourselves. We can also give gold, or today's equivalent. But likewise, we can give of ourselves to Jesus. We can give of our time, our hands, our hearts, our lives. What impact does Jesus have on us? It should be worship and to give of ourselves to him. But the impact of Jesus' coming should also disturb us. Not in a killing rage, But God didn't become human just to hang out as a baby in a manger. God became human to save us and to transform us. Transformation and change are always disturbing because they shake us out of our status quo. They push us out of our comfort zone. We cannot know the fullness of the life God has in store for us without being changed. It's an impossibility. We can either remain the same and not know what God wants for us, or we can be changed by God and know the fullness of life he wants. God's grace in Jesus doesn't just affect our ultimate outcome, what happens to us when we die, but works within us to transform our lives here, today, now. Jesus transforms our lives as we give him access to our hearts. He transforms our attitudes. He transforms our priorities. He transforms our way of living. God wants to reshape us so that our attitudes become like Jesus' attitudes, so that our priorities become like Jesus' priorities, so that our lives resemble Jesus' life. God doesn't force himself on us. It doesn't happen magically. We have to be willing participants, allowing God access to our hearts, and be willing to stretch ourselves with those Christ-like attitudes, those Christ-like priorities, those Christ-like ways of living. Even though the birth of Jesus, God become human in Jesus, should cause us to worship and give to him of ourselves, it should also disturb us because it means change and remaking our lives. The one thing Jesus should not bring about in us is indifference. If we or anyone are indifferent about Jesus Christ, then we're just not paying attention. If we are indifferent about Jesus, then we have missed the whole point. Jesus has had an impact and is having an impact on all of creation, including all the world's people. And indifference is just not a reasonable response to that impact. Accept him and worship him. Give of ourselves to him. Or be disturbed by him and reject him. Those are really the options. Indifference means we just haven't paid attention at all. What is your reaction to Jesus' impact on your life? Through the rest of this service, as we move towards communion, through the communion service, I invite you to consider the impact you are allowing Jesus to have on your life. And don't stop there. The rest of the day today, the rest of this week, continue to consider the impact that you are allowing Jesus to have to save you and to transform your life. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for the gift that you give us in Jesus. We thank you that you became human in Jesus. And you did that because you love us so deeply. That you did that because you want us to be with you always to eternity. We thank you for the impact of Jesus, the impact that his coming had on the people at the time, the impact that it had on the shepherds and the magi, even the impact it had on Herod. We thank you for the impact of Jesus through the centuries. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to allow Jesus to impact our lives. Allow Jesus to transform us. Help us to be open to you, that we would be open to the transformation of our attitudes, the transformation of our priorities, the transformation of our ways of living. We pray, Lord, for Jesus' impact on the whole of this world, to transform this world, to bring about wholeness and justice and peace and hope. We pray, Lord, for the impact of Jesus on the city of Ottawa. We pray for that impact of transformation in our city, to know wholeness and peace and justice. And we pray for the impact of Jesus, not just on ourselves as individuals, but upon us as a church, upon St. Paul's, that you would continue to transform us, remaking us to be more like Jesus. Bless us to trust you, Lord. Bless us to follow you. Bless us to be open to all that you would do in and through us. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus gives us the gift of Holy Communion, a gift that is intended to help us to not only remember all that he has done for us, but by his grace, to enter into what he has done for us. To know, not just with our minds, and not even just with our hearts, but to know even with our bodies that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he loves us to death and back again. Jesus invites all those who know and love him to eat and to drink and to know how much he loves you and to pour out his grace upon you. I invite you to be impacted by that grace even as you receive. Let us pray together. Holy God, we thank you. We bow before you and worship you and thank you for your deep, deep abiding love for us. Love that moved you to come to us in Jesus, to live for us in Jesus, to die for us on the cross in Jesus, to rise again from the dead for us in Jesus, that in him you would forgive all our sin, and that in him you would redeem us and save us and make us your own sons, your own daughters. We thank you for this incredible sacrifice, this amazing grace. And we pray that even as we come to this table, we pray that this bread and this cup would be to us as the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and that in them and in this time we would know you, even as we are known by you. Draw us to yourself, Lord. We pray in Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after they had eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." I would invite our servers to come forward now, please. The cup of salvation, the new covenant in Christ's blood. the blood of Christ. Let us pray. Our loving God, we thank you for giving yourself to us in Jesus, and we thank you for this symbol of that action even now, that we make the bread and the cup become part of us. Just as by your Spirit in Jesus, you become part of us. Bless us to know you, to trust you, to follow you. And even as you have blessed us, make us a blessing to each other, to all those we meet this day, this week. For your glory's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand as we sing our closing song?
my brothers and sisters, consider the impact Jesus has on you and go from here and have an impact on other people's lives in him, through him, and for him. May the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit fill you now and always. Amen.
And please join us in Campbell Hall for cookies and coffee.
The problem is, I usually remember to do it before I start shaking people's hands.